Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
For regular listeners, you know that we are in the last three verses of the book of Malachi. And we are looking at three steps, three ways to restore a spiritually wayward society. And they are, number one, return to the Word of God, verse 4. Number two, receive the messengers of God, verse 5. And number four, reform the institutions designed by God, verse 6. We're still in verse 4. We're still talking about the first step, return to the Word of God. And we have answered three questions. I have a few more things yet to say about the third question, which I haven't quite finished, and then we're going to take a little bit of time to talk about how this applies to America today, right down where the rubber meets the road. Surely we can see how it applies to Israel in Malachi's day, but can we see any application for the United States of America today? I think we can, and I will suggest some of those applications to you, but first we've got to finish our examination of the text, and then we'll take some time to apply the text. So thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, April 1. Many, many thanks to those radio listeners who are mindful of our need of financial help and who value this Bible teaching broadcast sufficiently to want to make sure that it stays upon the air. Thank you so very, very much. Here's the text, Malachi 4:4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Question number one, what should they remember? Answer, the Word of God. Law of Moses, the law of God, the law communicated through man, the law given at Sinai, the law given to Israel, the law that all of the law that God gave, not just the Ten Commandments, but the statutes and the judgments as well, as it's put here in verse 4. Question number 2. Why should they remember this? And the answer is because it is the law of God. God being God, and we being the ones that He made, we have an obligation, a responsibility to remember His Word. So we should do so because it is the law of God, and therefore it ought to be carefully examined and applied. And number two, because it is the law which they had violated. It is the very reason why their society is in trouble at the time when Malachi writes these words, is because they have failed to remember the law of God. So why should they remember it? To get themselves out of the mess they're in. They ought to remember it because God is God and they have an obligation to honor Him. But they also need to recognize that the reason why their society is not doing well, why it seems to be crumbling around them, is because the law of God has been violated. And therefore, they need to remember, not forget, remember the law of God. Which brings me to the third question, which is, what does it mean to remember? And that's the one we were dealing with on the broadcast yesterday. And I simply remind you that in the Hebrew word that is used, remember means more than recall. It combines both the idea of thinking about with the action that flows out of that. To remember something in a biblical standpoint means to remember it in order to do what it says. To remember the law of God is to understand it so that you can do it. We often say, Lord, help us to be doers of God's word and not hearers only. Similar idea. It's one thing to go to church week by week and hear God's word. It's another thing to make that a part of your life. It's another thing to act upon that which you have heard. It's another thing to recognize that portion of God's word that applies to your life and needs response on your part and come forth with the appropriate response. And if you don't do that, then you are a hearer only, but you are not a doer, or, to put it in the language of Malachi, you are forgetting God's word rather than remembering it. So, we must know what the word of God says, but we must obey what it teaches. It's both. If you don't know it, it's for sure that you're not going to obey it. So you need to know it. You need to study it. You need to hear it taught. You need to apply yourself to understanding God's word. That's the first part of remembering, but that's only part of it. The second part is to obey what it teaches. And it is obvious that we will not obey what we do not know, but it's also true that in a biblical sense, we have not remembered until we obey. Some people are full of knowledge of God's word, and yet they haven't remembered it. They claim, I've had people tell me, people who don't even claim to be Christians. I've had people want to argue the Bible with me and say, I know the Bible better than most Christians that I'm acquainted with. And I say, I don't doubt it. But the question is not how much of it do you know. The question is how much of it do you believe? How much of it have you obeyed? And in their case, virtually none. They haven't remembered it. They may know it in one sense, but they haven't remembered it in the Bible sense. And here's where we start making the transition into application for us today. Societies need to know what God requires of them, just like individuals do. And when societies lose the knowledge of God's word, that society forfeits all possibility of obeying it. You can't obey what you don't know. If you do know it, you may still not obey it, but one thing is for sure, you won't obey it. You can't obey it if you don't know it. So what does it have to say about how to reform America today? Well, the answer is to begin by working at a restoring of the knowledge of God's word. That's where it must begin. How are we going to reform America today? At the ballot box? Not really. I do think Christians should vote. And I do. I do think Christians should inform themselves about what's going on in the political world. It affects the way we live. It affects our children. It affects our homes, our churches, our society, both now and in the years to come. It's vitally important that we know what's going on, and it's vitally important that we cast a thoughtful vote based upon our understanding of God's word applied to our understanding of what's going on in the world today. But, dear friends, that's not going to reform our society. That has no lasting effect because that does nothing to change hearts. But unless hearts and minds are transformed, then nothing really changes. There might be some stopgap measures that will slow down wayward directions in a society for a while, but it'll only be a matter of time until that society is heading right back in that same direction again, unless there is a sufficient proclamation of God's word that that society knows what God's word says, coupled with a work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts to give them a respect for that word and a desire to obey it. And unless minds and hearts are transformed, nothing will change. And obviously, we know that we can't change hearts. Only God can do that. But we can teach His Word. In fact, not only can, we must. That's our responsibility. We must teach it in our homes. We must teach it in our churches. We must teach it wherever we have opportunity, praying God to cause it to be believed, received, and acted upon. Let me give you one example of what I'm talking about. Not too many years ago in North Carolina, the question of the legalization of gay marriage was put upon the ballot. It became a matter of voting by the population of North Carolina, and 70% of North Carolinians voted against approving gay marriage. But we've got it, and we got it rather quickly after the vote. And how did that happen? One judge overturned the ballot box. Doesn't matter what 70% of the voters of North Carolina have said, what they want, the will that they have expressed on this matter. I'm ruling that you can't do that. That's a violation of the Constitution. That's a violation of individual rights. Well, why did he do that? Because of the way he thinks. Well, why did he think the way he thinks? Because his mind is not informed by the Bible. And that's the way it goes. Now, again, there's no way that we can force that judge or anyone else to believe what the Bible says, but we can do a better job of proclaiming what it says. If we don't believe it, we who are Christians, if we don't value it, if we don't think God's word is important and powerful, then it's for sure that unbelievers aren't going to think so. And so if we're going to transform our society, it's got to be the same thing we've got here. We've got to return to the law of God. How was Israel going to be reformed in Malachi's day? Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and the judgments. How is America going to be reformed today? By remembering the word of God. Now, one more thing. How does God teach us to proclaim his word? And this we need to understand, it is primarily to his people. And I'm not suggesting that we should not in any way, in any form, at any time, declare the word of God to unbelievers, because in fact we should. But while sometimes we think the way to do it is to get out there and preach to the world, if the churches, Christian churches, are not paying attention to God's word, we are wasting our breath. Judgment must begin at the house of God. Reformation must begin at the house of God. Revival must begin at the house of God. And so we've got to begin with the people of God. Each of us need to examine our own lives and be sure that we have not strayed from God's word. We need to examine our homes and see what needs to return to the word of God. We need to examine our churches to find out where we need to return to God's word. There's a work for revival among Christians and churches. Don't encourage unfaithful churches. Don't endorse unfaithful churches. And my time has run out. We'll come back tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.